All right, ladies and gentlemen, this evening we are in Reading, Pennsylvania at Reverb. It's going to be a brutal one with Surreption, Headliners, Cannibal Corpse, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Josh from Cattle Decapitation, who will also be bringing the pain tonight. Welcome.
Thank you. I'll do my best to bring pain.
Absolutely. We already talked about it last time we saw you, but you guys did a huge headlining tour, from what I understand, and now you just started the support tour. Did you have any time to recharge at home, or did you just dive right into this?
Well, our last show of the headliner was in Atlanta, and the next day we were in Jacksonville to start this.
Gotcha.
So we've had one day off already on this, but the last tour, which was about 3.5 weeks long, only had one book day off, but that was purely for driving from Boston to Atlanta, so it was just pretty much on the road. And then we had an unexpected day off when our trailer that we had rented, the tire just came off in upstate New York in our kind of rural area. So it was on a Sunday, and you couldn't really get anyone to work on it. So we figured out something with the rental agency and got it squared away. So we were fortunate enough to miss the show in Frederick, Maryland, unfortunately, but we got the show in Boston, so... You know, we would have liked to have been making all the shows we had booked, but fortunately it was just a one-day thing.
You know? Doing the best you can, that's all you can do.
It didn't fall off going 70 miles an hour and us careening into a ditch. It was on a side road after we'd gotten gas, so we were only maybe going 30 miles an hour. So.
You just drove the whole way 30 miles an hour just in case.
Yeah, of course, just in case, because we knew it was going to happen.
All right, so after you do this long headliner, how do you just narrow the set down to... No, 30 minutes. You just chop 50 minutes or so. I mean, that's got to be a little tough.
Well, we were doing, for the headliner, we had about an hour. This, we actually do get 45 minutes.
Okay.
So we took, I think we ended up taking two or three songs off. And we just kind of tried to get the transitions between songs, like boom, 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 like do it Ramon style, like boom, one right into another, with the exception, a couple exceptions. So I think we had it pruned down pretty well, but it is exactly 45 minutes. It's right there. Yeah.
No witty banter tonight, guys. They're just going to keep it moving.
There's like a couple points for witty banter, but for the most part, it's just like one right after the other.
So. All right. Now let's dive into your new amazing album, Anthropocene Extinction, in stores now. In an attempt to recapture the magic of Monolith of Inhumanity, you went back to record with David Otero, A Legion in Cephalic Carnage. What is it about him and his studio that just works so well for you guys?
I think a lot of it, I mean, aside from his, you know, experience and, you know, just expertise as an engineer, producer, I think he kind of knows how to handle us, and that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do, just because, as he states, like, we have a making-of documentary for that record, and he stated in that documentary, and it's totally true, you've got four very different personalities, and I don't want to say agendas, because that makes it seem all, like, you know, agendas, you know, but just sort of, like, all these differing viewpoints, and everyone has a common goal of creating the best record we can, but everyone has a very different idea of how to get there, so he's good at harnessing that, and kind of playing referee a lot and getting the best product out of everyone and performance, and you know, the end point being a record that's satisfying to, or you know, that appeases everyone in the band, you know.
Yeah, I actually saw that on YouTube. So you guys have all these different perspectives and ideas. Do you think that makes the experience where, like, you're banging your head in the studio, just killing yourselves, like trying to come up with a good finished product, or is everything really compromised, or like how does that?
I mean, it is to a certain extent, but I think it's one of the biggest strengths of the band. But it's also, I mean, the fact that everyone has such different, disparate, you know, views on things. But it's also one of the things that makes us the biggest pain in the ass. It's just like, you know, the end product's good, but man, the road to get there, good God, you know, a lot of, you know, tussling and mumbling and going into the other room to scream and stuff like that. You know?
No one's heard from any of those ex-members. They're buried behind something.
Well,
I'm not gonna ask you.
They're around.
Okay.
One of them is reproduced. One of them owns a home, and the other one—I don't know what he's doing. So, but he's still alive.
Okay. So no prosecution. You'll be okay.
No. Everyone's good. Everyone's good.
Excellent. Oh, and by the way, thanks for, in the liner notes, making the album all natural without hormones, additives, and preservatives.
We can, you know, like to keep it. I don't know whatever the catch thing is, GMO-free or whatever the, you know. Yeah, mostly.
All right, so you guys are one of the rare bands that have gotten better with each album. I started with Humanure for you. Do you think that some of that comes from having a little bit of stability with the lineup now, or your current lineup?
Well, I think we finally... I think it is. Actually, no, let me think about it. We've had everyone 5 years now, the actual same people. We had, I think the first, well, it's, I think it's one of the longest lived lineups of the band, so, and I, but I think it's the best lineup we've had too, so, and I think everyone else kind of, I mean, within the band itself does too, so, I think that strength and then, you know, the sort of writing together and the outcome that comes from that is the, I think what's kind of keeping everyone, I don't want to say keeps us, it's keeping us around, but I mean, it's just, it does, it's the unity that, you know, on stage, what comes across, and then what we can produce in the studio, you know. And then there's all that other troubling bickering back and forth that happens in between that, but, you know, whatever.
Everyone has that in some extent. But, all right. So you guys had two bonus tracks, Cannibalistic Invasivorism and No Light and No Life. What made them bonus tracks and not part of the standard?
Well, we needed, you always have to have a Japanese bonus track, because their CDs there are extremely expensive. So that's kind of their little cookie to have, you know, you get one more song for those $9 more you pay for, you know, a CD or whatever. And then the other one,
was on a
flexi disc for Decibel. Yeah. So we kind of came into it thinking, oh, well, we could possibly do a flexi disc. So we got to have two extra tracks. Originally we wanted to have another one too, but that didn't end up working out. So we just have those two, which is good. I mean, I'm glad they're on the European edition, which is like this really cool bound, like, version of the CD with, like, a matte, you know, paper pages. It just looks really cool. And those were both included on that, so that version has all that.
They're both very worthwhile tracks, which you can't always...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it was kind of, you know, at the end of the day, there's always, like, someone's like, well, that one eighth of 1 second, that one, I don't like that part, so it's got to go on the bonus. It's like, but the rest of the song's awesome. Well, I don't like that part. So, yeah. So it comes down to stuff like that, you know, can keep it from or going, you know. But we try to, like, look at the whole, you know, the songs we know we want on there as a whole, and then which song would, it's not to detract from the quality of the song or saying it's any lesser, but does it go with the flow of the rest of the record? Does this seemingly, you know, fit appropriately? Is there something that's, like, you know, that just makes it stand out in a way that's not, you know, with the flow? So that has a way of, you know, kind of determining things as well, and that has in the past, and, you know. I think this time it was a lot closer as far as yay or nay on it going, because everyone had, like, I like that song a lot, you know. So you looked at everyone's picks, and yeah, there was like five or six that were consistent, but then everything else is like all over the board as far as what people wanted. So.
All right, so that leads to the question. Over the years, are there a lot of B-sides and unreleased tracks that have yet to see the light of day that could be in a collection someday?
We tried to do that, actually, a few years ago, to get all these... It was called Medium Rarities we were going to put out, and it was all the B-sides, the Japanese stuff, some live stuff, a bunch of singles we put out, and we're missing one song from it. Metal Blade has, like, the original, like, recording, or it was done during the Disturbed Band sessions. It was the bonus track for that that cycle, and they can't find it. So we're short one song. You know, as soon as they could find it, we could seriously consider doing that, because that would be a good 20. It'd be a good long, you know, release. But unfortunately, right now, there's just, they can't find it. We tried it. It's like, we even had cover art for it and everything. So it came very close. But maybe someday.
Save everything, folks. Save everything in the cloud.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say then it was probably just a whatever the master was at the time. I don't know, it was like an ADAT or something like that. But Metal Blade has, you know, their vault or whatever, you know, they call it, which could be in a file cabinet, I don't know, but that has all their masters in it, and there's a couple of the people that we have contact with there said, we, you know, both of us, like, I looked all through the thing and I could not find it, you know, and that's so many releases they've done, so I don't know if it's like, it's probably going to be one of those when they're moving to their office the next time, be like, oh, son of a bitch, there it is.
Let's get around the
toss, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you and Travis are big Bethlehem fans. Fun fact, of course, Bethlehem being the next town over from Allentown. Yes. So, what Bethlehem albums do you recommend? Because I've heard, inspired by your album, I listened to their newest one, Hexa something. What would be a good one to start with?
They've kind of evolved over the years and changed. I mean, there's Dictus Tainatar is really good. Suicide. And then... Schattende auf der Alexanderwelt or something like that. I think that came out like 12 years ago, but the ones from the late 90s and early 2000s are my favorite. I mean, they had a fellow by the name of Rainier Landfermann that sang for them on a couple records. and his voice is one of the most insane, like, maniacal, just crazed mental patient voices I've ever heard, his singing voice. So those are the early records he's on, and it's awesome. But then their later stuff too, like, is just super moody and heavy, but, you know, just a lot of textures in it. So I really, him and I were pretty thrilled to have him involved. Yeah.
All right, you also had, well, besides Phil Anselmo, we all know that, Tristan from Author and Punisher. Now, of course, he's, I guess, from San Diego, and I don't know where everyone is still based out in that area or not, but do you guys still go out to shows and discover new artists in San Diego?
It depends. The older I get, the more I'm, like, shut in. But I think it's mostly, like, going out to support our friends that we are... That are you know, coming through town, or you know, bands that are, like, on tour. Like, Enslaved played in San Diego, which is kind of weird. And we were all like, yes, you know, go on and see Enslaved. It's more stuff like that as opposed to just going out to check out new bands. You know, I think if that's the case, it's usually because they're on a show that we're already going to see for other reasons, and it'll be, like, pleasantly surprised that this person we've not heard of, you know, or these people. I mean, San Diego's a pretty decent sized city, but it's for metal, it's not a huge town, so you pretty much know everyone who's going to have a band. You know, there's very few, like, oh, who are these kids over here? You know, it's usually, oh, that's so-and-so's new band, or, oh, that's his project, he finally got off the ground after 5 years kind of thing. So it's more that. And there's, you know, kind of the old standbys. You know, we've been there for a long time. Disgorge, obviously, has been there forever. There's a couple other bands. There's a few newer bands that are kind of starting to make a little more of a mark and, you know, get out of town. And our Eucharist, this band that we share a practice space with, they've toured a lot recently. Lurid Memories, another band. Runes of Abaddon is another band that gets out of town a bit. So we got a little tiny little handful there, but, you know, it's the type of town is a military and tourist town. So what do those people like to hear? Shitty tourist white collar blues, Sublime tribute bands, and just crap like that. So metal doesn't... Yeah, so, yeah, metal isn't necessarily the hugest thing there unless it's, like, you know, recruitment bro metal, you know, like Navy commercial metal.
So. It could be the next album, huh?
It could be.
Theme. All right. So on Monolith of Inhumanity, the vinyl edition featured Garbage Pail Kids-style trading cards. Was there any talk about having some extra goodies for this vinyl release?
We thought, we're like, is there any way we're going to top the Garbage Pail Kids? Because that's, I mean, especially for our age group, that was, like... How did you find that guy, you know? So I think this, we tried to brainstorm on what to do, and Derek, our bass player, was just like, well, it's kind of a sort of, not maritime, but like nautical, oceanic-themed album. He's like, what do we do, beach towels? Okay, yeah. So that was one of the things of this record was this you know, the giant, I mean, it's big. I forget the dimensions, but it's, you'll see it in there, it's big. And, yeah, it's just a totally functional beach towel. Take it to the pool, you know? Laying out if you're tanning, and I don't recommend that, but, you know, if you tan, or whatever. So, yeah, it's a neat little thing. And we also have banners, too, with, the eyelet holes, so you can, I don't know, fly it from a flag. I don't know why anyone would ever do that. We're just so happy with the cover art that it's, like, in sort of 50 different iterations, you know, up there for a little goodies. So that's pretty much what we did this time. We'll have to try to come up with something really ridiculous next time, but... I don't know what that's going to be. I don't think any of us want to think about that right now. Somebody asked me the other day, it's just like, oh, so what are your new songs sounding like? I'm like, a record came out a month ago, a month and a half ago. I was like, that's the farthest thing. I mean, everyone has riffs they come up with, so maybe, like, you know, put this, save it for later, either mentally or just, like, record it. But I don't, no.
Got any new songs on your phone we can hear?
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's people, oh, wait, we got any new songs written yet? I'm like, no.
Yeah, the ones from August.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you go buy the damn record? Those are new to everyone, hopefully. Still new to us, you know?
All right, so are there any plans for a music video for this album?
Yes, actually, we were just discussing that the past couple days. We've got, we have a portion that's like a performance portion, you know, where we just throw our shit around and try to look upset. That's going to be done in the next, I think, week and a half, 2 weeks. And then the rest of it will probably be completed, well, I shouldn't say like I know, but... he's got a lot of work to put into it, so I would say, I don't know, maybe into November or something like that. I don't know. That's just a very loose projection. I haven't talked to the guy directly, Travis has, so, I mean, he could probably tell me as far as what the timeline is, but it's like he's talking, it's going to be quite an undertaking. So it'll be a while. But yes, there is one.
You've had some...
We had one originally planned, and it's not happening. This one, however, is happening, so...
Same song?
No, it's actually for a different song. So yeah, we'll see that. The guy, we trust this person's abilities, so it should be good.
All right.
He's going to be great.
We'll be surprised then.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of the artwork and all that, when working with someone like Wes, how involved is Travis in terms of guiding the concept? Is it more like, here are the lyrics and here's the overall theme, do your thing, or is he just like leaning over his shoulder?
I think the only one that Wes has really totally pulled out and been like, here you go, was Humanoir. All the other ones, I think Travis at least have had a little bit of kind of input in. The most recent one, him and Wes went back and forth a lot on it. But it's just Wes is the most, I mean, granted, he's been doing how many of our records? Everyone since Two Third Man, so it's not like we've had anything to compare it to, but he's just amazing at getting our ideas and distilling them down into, like, this perfect image for each one. I mean, he did a ridiculous job on this one, I think. I mean, the past, well, I think this one and Harvest Floor are my two favorites that he's done for us. Just because they're all really dark, there's not, like, a cartoonish aspect to it at all, it's just really unpleasant. But without being like, you know, like a Gorgon record where there's just an exploded baby or something. It's like, oh, I just found this picture on a county website and there you go. You know, it's like, this is actual artwork and hours of him, you know, manipulating images and creating stuff and combining all these medium into what you see. So
hopefully tied with the music on the album.
Exactly. And yeah, you'd see little elements of all the like bits of lyrical content, you know, peppered throughout, which is, you know, Travis interjects with that. And then if you, you know, look at the record just kind of split out left to right, there's the monolith from there, then you see, although I don't know if this was intentional, there's a lot of the refinery stacks from Harvest Floor that are kind of in the back, so, you know, it has little bits of stuff.
Well, given the state that humans are on the cover, how much lower can we get on the next album cover if we're continuing to?
Well, I don't know, that's the thing, I want to know, and I'm just as curious as anyone, where's it going to go from here? Because we're kind of like, well, people are either dying or extinct, or this is, you know, there's dead people. That's supposed to be everybody or whatever. So, I mean, if you could do some sort of conceptual thing about, like, the vacuum of space or something, or, I don't know. Travis got his work cut out for him as far as concepts go. So we'll do our best with the music, and then he can do his creative best, you know, with the concepts and lyrics.
Maybe all life is gone by next time.
Then that's good. Yeah, I think it's kind of good that we're sort of, I don't say backed into a corner. I mean, I'm going to kick myself for saying it's good, but it's going to really push us to try to have a new angle on things or just to try to be as creative as possible, either both musically and lyrically and conceptually. So I don't know where the heck we're going to go, but we got another year of touring, year and a half of touring to really figure it out before we panic, so.
Take things to hell. That's always a good cop-out.
You know, it's the metal way to go, you know.
All right. So after this tour, what else do you guys have planned?
Well, we end this tour November 15th. We go home. We're home the rest of the year. We have four... Yes, very good. We have four shows in January in Mexico. We're doing a little fly-in kind of zippy-around thing. That's a technical term. And then late February, early March, we... most likely be in Europe. End of March, we're playing in South Africa at Witchfest, which should be really cool. And then we're booked for some festivals in June in Europe, and then again in late July, early August. And we're going to try to do Australia sometime in there. Maybe another U.S. tour, so yeah, I got some stuff going on. So we got a work cut out for us, but I mean, you know, we try to make it so we're not gone for these giant stretches of, like, you know, some band 3.5 months or whatever. It's like the band King Parrot that we were just on tour with. Those guys are over here more than they're in Australia. I mean, they are gone all the time. But they seem perfectly happy doing it, you know. So we'll see.
You guys have jobs, families, other real life stuff.
I mean, all of us have like regular jobs, and two of us are married, but it's like. No kids involved. We just have a couple dogs. That's it, you know. But yeah, I mean, miss the girl sometimes. You know, so just want to be home. you know, a little more often. The older you get, you know, you don't want to be gone all the time, all the time. So, you know, like Cannibal, like two or three of those guys have, you know, families, including kids. So, you know, they've got it strategically laid out to where they're, you know, can get what they need to be, get done effectively to support their records, but be on the road, be home, you know, get all that, and everyone's happy. So they've handled it very well, and, you know, kudos to them on that. That's just like the right way to do things, you know.
Looks like they're still going to be hitting it through almost the rest of the year, so, I mean, I'll ask them for the specifics, but my goodness. Mm-hmm. But, all right. So I end every interview with this question, so you're not alone in suffering from it. Stuck on a desert island, one album, rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I like so many records. I can't think of one that I would be, because it's like, people will be like, oh, you can't pick something metal because, you know, you want something with depth that you could go back to and discover new things every time. But then again, it's like, I don't know. People try to give these, you know, these sort of snooty answer and say something either classical or like some really deep jazz recording, which I wouldn't necessarily disagree with, but I don't know. I would almost like would not want to have anything and just be able to create my own music banging on coconuts or something. I don't know. Or
one or two people have said silence, so, you know, that's acceptable.
That's you could just have this sort of your recollections of all the music you heard prior to that. You'd, you know, romanticize all of it, and it would be sweeter than having that one item that you could play over and over and over, you know. And then you'd be like, well, I'm going to listen to this once a year, that's it. Otherwise, I'll just kill myself if I have to hear this stupid thing again, you know, regardless of what it is, you know. I mean, I remember someone asked kind of the same thing a long time ago, and one of the guys, not our guys, but it was a different band, it's like 20 years ago, and the guy's like, so he listened to some Grind record, you know, and it's a great Grind record, it's a classic, but it's like, really? You probably listened to that 40 times this week in your van going back and forth to work. I don't know if you could do a lifetime thing with that, you know, assuming that it's going to be, you know, you're stranded on that desert island forever and you're never going to get rescued, you know. So I would just prefer, yeah, silence and create my own music that I could never record.
Absolutely.
No one else would be forced to listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely fine. It's not about the answer. It's how you arrive at the answer. That's all good. Well, thank you very much for the interview. And